Good morning. And welcome to the fourth week of our series entitled Needy. Thanks for sticking around. We've been saying throughout this series about how we are needy, how there is a God who is completely self-sufficient, but how needy all of us are. We have lots of needs. We have needs for oxygen and food. We need clothing and shelter. We need love and encouragement. We need sleep, especially this morning, and rest, and lots of other things. We're needy. And to kick off the series, we said that problems arise when we try to meet legitimate needs with illegitimate things. In the second week, we talked about the fact that our need for God is our greatest need of all, and that God often gets our attention through other means. Last week, we talked about our need for both work and rest. Today, we're going to talk about another need, and this one isn't as much fun. In fact, I'm guessing you probably don't want to hear about this one, but it is one that we must address. So to make it easier, let's put it on someone else. And we all have this someone else in our lives. Maybe it's at work with a boss or a coworker. Maybe it's at school or on a team or another parent that you run in the same circles with. So who is that person in your life who is always right? I mean always. They never listen to advice. They never hear anyone's feedback or suggestions. It's their way or the highway. And they don't make mistakes. They never apologize. But somehow, they're always there to tell you how to do it better. And don't even think about mentioning that there's another way to think about doing that presentation, or that their kids are anything less than perfect. Pride is a big problem in our world, especially in today's culture. We are so obsessed with self-image. Think of Facebook. I'm not on Facebook for a number of reasons, but those that are that I know, it's like, I had a tough day today. And the world cares? Really? I mean, everybody had a tough day, probably. Or think of the selfie. We are completely self-absorbed. Nobody knows how many selfies people take, and then they touch up the pictures before putting them online. Because social media is all about presenting a polished image of ourselves to others. And there's pictures of fancy vacations, of cool people, out to lunch. I'm at dinner, look what I'm eating. Do you really think people care? All of this is to somehow make our lives look interesting to others as we compare their pictures to our lives. We are obsessed with others' opinions, and it's all about trying to make us feel better. But the reality is that we have a false view of ourselves. What we think of ourselves is a bit distorted. It's a bit twisted and confused. And it can take us down one of two roads: an inflated view of self or a deflated view of self. The inflated view says, I'm doing pretty good. Better than good, actually. I'm better than most, certainly smarter and stronger. Not needy, not perfect, but I've worked hard for what I have. I've earned it. I don't think I have that many flaws. I can't help it that my way is always better. The deflated view says, I'm not doing so well. I just seem to always lose. I'll probably never amount to much. I won't get that promotion, or I won't find that special someone. I always seem to mess things up. I'm beyond hope. The real problem with all of this is that it is rooted in pride. And pride either says, I'm fine on my own and I don't need God, or I'm too helpless and God can't possibly help me. Both are selfish and both are wrong. We all have pride in our hearts. We're born that way. And we need to be healed. And that's the need that we're talking about today, the need to be healed of our pride. And that's going to mean that we have to take a new view of our world, a new view of God, and a new view of ourselves. And what we need is a true view. Today's gospel tells the story of a guy in Jesus' time that needed healing too. And his name was Nicodemus. And he was a Pharisee, so he was educated, he was smart. He had seen Jesus performing miracles, doing great things, and he was intrigued by him. He wanted to learn more. I think that's why we're here today. Maybe you're intrigued. Maybe you're curious. Maybe you know you want to know more about God. And Nicodemus knew that he didn't have it all figured out. He had some questions. He wanted to know how to experience more of God in his life. And the way that Jesus responds to him shocks him. We're in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, right after Jesus gives him this astonishing response, and Nicodemus says to him, "How can this happen?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "You are the teacher of Israel, and you don't understand this? If I tell you about earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you about heavenly things?" Jesus basically tells him that even though he's a smart guy, even though he's educated and knows the scriptures well, that he needs a new perspective. He can't understand the things of heaven if he doesn't get a new vantage point, a new view. And then Jesus goes on to say, "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert," he references an Old Testament story of Moses and the Israelites. Remember what happened? The Israelites were complaining and whining to God. And to teach them a lesson, he sent serpents into their camp to bite the Israelites. Which is pretty crazy if you think about it. But people started dying of these snake bites. So God told Moses, "Take the serpent, mount it on a wooden post, and raise the serpent up so that people can see it. And whenever anyone is bitten by a snake, let them go and look at the serpent, and they'll be healed." And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He's foreshadowing his own death and his own crucifixion, saying that just as the serpent was raised up on a post and everyone who looked at the serpent was healed, so will he be lifted up on a post, on a cross, and anyone who looks at him will be healed. It's a powerful image. He's telling Nicodemus that he needs to be healed. Now, that sounds great for a snake bite, but how does that relate to us? Well, remember how Jesus said that Nicodemus was a teacher of the law? What I really think is going on here is a symbolism to another snake, because we've all been bitten by this snake. We've all fallen victim to the snake bite of original sin. Now, the serpent was the most cunning of all the animals that the Lord had made. Serpents are called ambush predators because they ambush their prey. So the serpent is ambushing Eve here in the Garden of Eden in the story of creation, and he ambushes her with this question. The serpent asked the woman, "Did God really tell you not to eat from any of the trees in the garden?" See, he starts by planting doubt. "You sure he said that?" Now, the woman answers the serpent and says, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. It's only about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden that God said, you shall not eat it or even touch it, lest you die. So she responds firmly at first, but the serpent persists. The serpent said to the woman, you certainly will not die. No, God knows well that the moment you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like gods. What a lie. This is exactly it. Our eyes were not open, they were closed. And our view has been forever tarnished and distorted and destroyed. The first temptation, the first lie, the first sin was the sin of pride. We think we can be like gods, or we think that we're too messed up that God can't help us. So our vision has been damaged, and to experience God more fully in our lives, we need to be healed of this pride. We need a new perspective. We need to see things clearly again. Is this you? Do you need a new perspective? Do you get so wrapped up in a deflated view of yourself that you can't stop the negative self-talk in your head? Do you beat yourself up in a cycle of negativity? Or do you have an overinflated view of yourself? Do you think that you're better than everyone else? Have you thought poorly of someone else recently just to make yourself feel better? Jesus is telling us, just like he was telling Nicodemus, that if you want to experience God more fully in your life, you need to be healed of your pride. You need a new view. You need a true view of yourself. And here's what he says next. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. The true view of you is to see yourself as God sees you. And God loves you. God loves you so much. How can we hold pride in our hearts when we look at who God is and what he has done for us? He gave us his Son. He was sent to be born in a manger, to be persecuted throughout his life, unjustly sentenced to death, tortured and murdered, and finally raised up on a cross so that you could be healed. Our pride has distorted our view of ourselves. We are all in need of healing from pride. And humility is the answer. Humility is taking a true view of ourselves. So this week, I challenge you to write yourself a letter and do it from the perspective of God. We have to take a step towards healing, to letting go of the false view, and to see the true view. So this letter is a two-step process. Firstly, write down that scripture passage, John 3:16. Write that at the top of the page. And then start writing to yourself from the perspective of God. What does God have to say about your life right now? What would he say about your attitude, about your relationships, your challenges and worries, your hopes and dreams? And every time that you don't know what God would say, read that verse at the top of the page to remind yourself that God is your heavenly Father who loves you and gave his Son for you. Because you know what God thinks of you? He knows about all your mistakes. He knows about all your sins. But he sees more for you. He sees you as courageous. You can make the right choices in the face of adversity. He sees you as trustworthy, no matter what exes have said about you. He sees you as beautiful. Your heart is beautiful. Your body is beautiful. He sees you as confident, able to tackle any problem at home, at work, at school. He sees you as talented, as smart and capable and hardworking. And he sees you as generous, as giving, as helpful, as a blessing to others. The true view of you is to see yourself as God sees you. Remember the homework we gave you from week two that you never turned in? And we said, God, I need you. Well, God, we need you because we're broken. We're in need of healing. And our hearts need to be made whole. Help us to live with humility, to let go of our pride. Help heal our hearts and show us how to see ourselves as you see us.